There are two battlefronts that you are going to face if you are fighting for the future of your family. Battlefront number one is the battlefront of the heart. I want to talk to you. This is really, really important.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. This is Joshua Halleck. I'm your host today with Pastor Mark Job, senior pastor and author at New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, what a great series, Bold Living. You've called it a study in the book of Ephesians, and you've been taking us through our new identity in Christ and how that affects everything. And we've gone through how to live in the world and not be like the world. We've gone through making our marriage work. And today, we're in Ephesians 6, and you're taking us in a message called Fighting for Your Family's Future. What an important, powerful message. And who are you talking to today?
Today, I'm talking to someone whose family's a bit of a mess, maybe a young father who looks at his children and says, I don't want them to live the cycle that I lived. I'm talking to cycle breakers, legacy makers. I'm talking to husbands and wives who have children. I'm talking to the single dad. I'm talking to the single mom who has the responsibility, whether small children or grown children, to fight for the destiny of your family. This is huge, and you have a significant, powerful impact on how your children turn out. And my wife, Dee, and I have experienced that from the beginning. We have three children. They're older now. They're all young adults, 25, 23, and 18. And like every parent, there's been times where we've looked at each other and said, what did we do wrong? You know, I think every parent goes through those. Thankfully, all three of our children are loving Jesus, following God, know the Lord. But it doesn't mean that it hasn't been without struggles and battles and times where we're wondering, hey, is this kid really going to live for Jesus? And so this message is really, really important.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. It's called Fighting for Your Family's Future. And we pray that you would find strength and encouragement in the Word of God today. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to go there right now.
I've entitled this message, Fighting for Your Family's Future. A few years ago, when my children were younger, quite a few years ago, it was on a Sunday afternoon. I still remember it. We had gone to visit my father-in-law, and he lived downtown and was in a condo, and his condo happened to have a swimming pool. So he said, why don't you just have the kids swim in the swimming pool? And so I was tired that Sunday, preached a couple of times. And so I sat on the side of the swimming pool outside, fully clothed, reading the newspaper. And my children, my two oldest, jumped in. And Grant, who was only about maybe 2 years old, he was on the steps. And I told him, don't go in too far because it can be dangerous. It's over your head. And so I was watching them, reading the paper, looking up and watching them. Got engrossed in an article, and then I raised my eyes and I thought, where's my youngest 2-year-old, Grant? I don't see him. And then I saw him. His head popped out of the water. And I realized he was gasping for air. Adrenaline shot through my system. Has that ever happened to you? You think something's happening to your kid. I mean, I felt the rush of adrenaline. I jumped up immediately. I jumped right into the pool, fully clothed, and ran, made my way over to him, and I picked him up, and he was spouting water out and crying, and I took him out. I said, so sorry, son, and I put him down, and he was kind of throwing up water, very shooken up because he thought he almost drowned. And I thought to myself, wow, my son could have drowned right in front of me on my watch. How would I ever explain it to my wife? Whew. It took a long time before my son wanted to get back in the swimming pool. But I thought, you know, it wasn't because I didn't care about him. It was I didn't know that he was about to drown. It wasn't that I wouldn't do anything to save him. It was I was unaware how bad the situation was. There are some of you today, practically everybody in this auditorium, you care about your family, your wife, your children, your nieces, your nephews, your parents, your aging parents. No doubt that you love them. No doubt that you would do anything in your power to help them out. But the problem is that sometimes they're worse off than what we think. Sometimes they're drowning right in front of us and we're not even aware. So today I want to talk to you about what it means to fight for the future of your family. And I wanted you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. If you at all are trying to raise a family in this generation, you know that we live in a crazy, crazy culture. And to try to keep the family together, to try to keep the integrity of the family together is a challenge. There are forces pulling our families apart left and right. Families are disintegrating all around us. Many families are struggling to stay together. Children struggling to connect with their parents. Parents struggling to stay together in their marriage. Spouses that are at each other's throats. In-laws that can't get along all the time. There is extreme pressure on families together to stay together in this day and age. And here's what I've learned. I want you to write this principle down first of all. Write this down if you're taking notes. I've discovered this, listen, that if you align yourself with God, alignment with God and His design positions you for your assignment. In other words, you have to come into alignment with God's plan and His design in order to be able to embrace your divine assignment. And some of you are looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. So let me say it again. So why don't you say this out loud with me? Alignment positions you for your assignment. Go ahead. Alignment positions you for your assignment. In other words, if you are a father today, you have to align yourself with what it means to be a father according to the Word of God. And when you align yourself with God's plan for fatherhood, it releases you to your divine assignment and the greatest influence possible in your life. If you are misaligned, then you will also, if you don't align yourself right, if you're misaligned, you will miss your assignment. Some of you are missing your assignment because you're not aligned with God's plan today. You're a father, but you're missing the influence of fatherhood. You're a mother, but you haven't aligned yourself with God's plan. And so the power of motherhood has been depleted from your life because you're not aligned with God. You're a son or a daughter, but the power of daughterhood or sonship isn't fully realized in your life because you're not aligned with God's plan. And so you're missing the power of your assignment because of your misalignment. So I want you to turn your Bible in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Because I see in this passage really two battle fronts that we need to engage in if we're going to fight for the destiny and future of our families. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." I tried to drill this verse into my children before they could even walk. "Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Word of the Lord. There are two battle fronts that you are going to face if you are fighting for the future of your family. Battlefront number one is the battlefront of the heart. Notice what it says. It says to children, there are two things that children, and by the way, this word children, someone say, well, what age are you talking about? This word children in the Greek is technia. It doesn't mean little ones necessarily. It means offspring at various ages. So this says offspring, sons and daughters. It says children, obey your parents. And then secondly, it says, and honor your parents. So there's two words that's given to our offspring. Number one is obedience, and secondly is honor. Obedience has to do with the idea of putting ourselves under the authority of someone. It's a military term. It means coming under the authority. And the word honor has to do with not taking them lightly. In fact, literally the word honor means heavy. You know, when someone says something to you and you don't really care what they're saying, you just take it lightly. Yeah, it doesn't matter. But if you're showing honor, you want to listen to what they're saying because what they're saying is important. You take it heavy. If you were called to see the Queen of England and came before the Queen of England, chances are you wouldn't be, hey, dude, what's going on? Give me a high five. You know, you would show respect. You would listen. What they say would be important. You would be listening to what they say, not you know, taking a selfie of yourself with the Queen or texting on. No, you'd be listening to what they have to say because you're showing honor. The Bible talks to offspring, and it says you owe your parents two things, obedience and honor. Now, those two things have to do with how your children position themselves under authority. I want to talk to you. This is really, really important. This is how it works. I'm going to teach you a principle that's a powerful principle, not just for children, but for those of you that are adults, and it starts in childhood, and it has repercussions into adulthood. I have an umbrella with me right now, and those of you that are listening maybe through a podcast or online, I have an umbrella that I've put over me right now. Now, why do we use umbrellas? Well, we pull an umbrella out when it's raining torrentially outside. And when water's coming from down a few days ago, it really poured, didn't it? And just getting from the car to my house, I was drenched. I use an umbrella because when it's raining outside, I don't want to mess up my hair. So here's what happens. If it's raining, I put myself under the umbrella, and as long as I am under the umbrella, I don't get wet. I can have an umbrella, and if I hold the umbrella outside, then I get wet even though I have an umbrella. As long as I'm under, I'm protected. When I get out from under the protection of the umbrella, there is no protection on my life, and I am subject to the elements of the weather. Are you tracking with me? There is a protection also. I've heard it illustrated this way. God has designed a protection umbrella for your family, for your children, and for your life. There is a protection that we are called to go under. For example, when children are under the protection of their parents and children are obeying their parents and honoring their parents, there is a level of protection over their life.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Fighting for Your Family. It's from our series called Bold Living, a study in Ephesians. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Pastor Mark's message, Fighting for Your Family.
The counsel of their parents, the insight of their parents, the prayers of their parents, the favor of their parents is on their life. When a child decides, gets a seed of, here it goes, rebellion. When a child gets a seed of rebellion, a child says, I don't want to be under the authority of my parents. No one's going to tell me what to do. What do they know anyways? They're old-fashioned. They don't know what's going on in the world. I don't want to listen to what they have to say. Stop trying to micromanage and control me. I don't have to listen to you. I'm 14 years old. I should be able to do whatever I want right now. When they come out under the protection of their parents, then suddenly the protection that they lived under has disappeared in their life, and now they are subject to the attacks of the enemy and the elements of the world like never before because they've taken themselves out from the protection of their parents. Are you tracking with me? Here's what I want you to understand. This is huge. It's a huge principle. Do you realize that the reason that humanity's in the problem, in the situation that it is because the very first individuals that God created, the problem, what led them out of God's protection, was what leads us out of the protection of our family, the protection of our church, the protection of God. And it's this, the seeds of this word, the seed of rebellion. Let me define rebellion for you. The dictionary says that rebellion is resistance, defiance, and disobedience to authority. It's resistance, defiance, and disobedience to the authority that's placed over us. That's rebellion. Now, think for a moment back to the very, very first place called the Garden of Eden that man and woman were at. I mean, think about it for a second. What a sweet setup. Here's Eve and here's Adam. Eve didn't have to say, hey, Adam, who you looking at? No one else to look at. It's hard to compete with a woman. I mean, you got a rhinoceros over here, a giraffe over here, a zebra. Who would you be looking at? Of course, she's naked, he's naked. They're in the garden. Beautiful, idyllic place. There's no disease. There's no death. They have fruit trees and they have animals and they have rivers and they have nice water and they're walking with God. I mean, this is the iconic, idealistic place in the world. This is better than any resort that you've ever been to. This is the beautiful paradise on earth that God created, and they're doing great. They're enjoying life. They have eyes for one another. This is the place that you raise a family. The enemy wanted to mess this up. And so all he had to do, the enemy, to mess up paradise was to plant one seed in their life. You know what seed it was? The seed of rebellion. So the serpent says to Eve, hey, you listening to God? He told you you couldn't eat for this tree? Man, God just wants to hinder your joy. God just wants to cramp your style. God just wants to put boundaries on you. He's really not looking out for your good. He doesn't have your best interest in mind. Why don't you just take of this fruit and eat it? Because your way is better than God's way. That's a seed of rebellion where you start thinking, I don't want to be under authority. What does God know anyways? Yeah, maybe I want to be like God. And the Bible says that Eve took of the fruit, gave it to the man, and as soon as they ate of that fruit, then all of spiritual hell was unleashed upon them. Theologians call it the fall of man. And suddenly there was shame and guilt and death and disease was introduced into the world because they came out from under God's umbrella of protection. See, what rebellion does is it scoots you out of the umbrella of protection. It lures you away from that which is protecting your life, saying there's a better way. And when we're out there, then we get sabotaged by the atrocities of life, by our own way. We get beat up by life because while we're under the umbrella of protection, we can't be beat up. But when we're lured out of it, then we get beat up by life. Listen to what 1 Samuel 15 verse 23 says. The prophet is speaking to Saul, who is a king, who had gotten out of God's umbrella of protection. And Samuel says to him, rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft. Now think about it. When you think of witchcraft, you think pretty evil, dark, spooky, voodoo-ish. You know, killing animals in some back alley, putting curses on people. We say, whoa, that's evil. Well, don't get around that person. That's evil. They're into witchcraft. Ooh, nasty, dark. But you know what? As bad as that may seem, the Bible says that when your teenage son or daughter gets a seed of rebellion in their heart, or you as a man decide that your way is better than God's, or you as a wife decides, like, you know what, I don't want to do this, I want to do it my way, and you get a seed of rebellion in your heart against the God-given authority over your life, then the destiny of the person that's involved in witchcraft becomes the same destiny as the person that allowed a seed of rebellion to develop in their heart. Their destination is the same. It drags you to the same pit. It devastates your life in the same way, because what rebellion says is, I know better. I don't have to do it God's way. I can do it my way. And ultimately, people start paying the consequences for walking outside of God's umbrella of protection. You know, there's some of you that are here right now, and there's some guy here right now that's 57 years old. And you're saying, God, why is my life so tough? Why is it so messed up? Why did you allow me to go through this? And can I tell you, it has nothing to do with what God did. It has everything to do with you stepping out of your umbrella of protection when you were 17 or 16 years old. And when you stepped out of that umbrella of protection, you made stupid decisions about your life, about your destiny, that got you involved in relationships and pregnancies and sexually transmitted diseases and a criminal record. And then you wake up at 57 years old, and some of you are still trying to make up for the bad decisions that you made when you were 17, 19, 20, 22 years old, and you're still paying the consequences. Why? Because at years ago, you stepped out of the umbrella of protection, and God is saying to you today, listen, it's time to break that cycle of rebellion in your life. Some of you need to rise up today and say, I will be a cycle breaker and a legacy maker. I will not let a cycle of rebellion dominate my life. For me, for my children, for my relationships, I will break that cycle that leads to the destination that witchcraft leads to, and align myself with God so I can fulfill my divine assignment in life. This is a powerful, powerful principle. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15 says, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. So you can be 16 and have a heart of rebellion. You can be 45 and have a heart of rebellion. You can be 23. And if right now you are saying, I don't want anybody telling me how to live, or anybody telling me what to do. I am my own person. I make my own rules. I am free to do whatever I want. Then I want to tell you something. You are being fueled by a heart of rebellion. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, you can't say, I do what I want when I want. You say, I do what I want as long as Jesus wants me to do it. In other words, you are submitted to the lordship of Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, your life is not your own. If you're a follower of Jesus, it's not, I can do whatever I want whenever I want. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're saying, I do what you want when you want it, how you want it, because my life is aligned with you so I can fulfill my divine assignment. So it says, children, honor your obey your parents. And then it says, honor your father and your mother. And it's interesting that it says, honor your father and your mother, because this is the first commandment with a promise attached to it. In other words, if you do this, it will result in this. What does it promise if we obey? By the way, it's found in the Ten Commandments, which are listed in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. In the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, it says, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, so that you may live a long life and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. There are two promises associated with obeying the commandment of honoring your father and mother. The first consequence, or the first benefit, is that it will go well with you. How many of you are here and say, you know, I want success and longevity? The Bible is saying that the consequences of honoring your father and your mother is that it results in success and longevity. So that it will go well with you. That means so that the favor of God may rest upon you. So doors open. So things go well. So unexpected blessings come your way. So God is clearing out the debris in front of you so that it may go well with you and so that you may live a long life. What generates that? Honor and respect for your parents. Listen, it's not only talking to 16-year-olds or 14-year-olds, it's also talking to 45-year-olds. Come on now.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago with the first half of his message entitled Fighting for Your Family. It's from his current series called Bold Living, a study in Ephesians. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.